Life Audio.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Johnny loves in the air, and that's why there's a special mini-sode, bonus time with John and Johnny. We'll talk about that, to talk about the beauty of love.
It's a heart-shaped mini-sode.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say hot tub.
We're in a heart-shaped hot tub right now, as we... Wouldn't that be weird?
That would be weird.
The sound you hear is the jets. No. Do you like a hot tub? I'm not... Sometimes people don't like hot tubs because it's like a big, you know, it's a vat. You're just in there.
I like them.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-hot tub.
It's just, you get in there, after a while, it's enough already. You just feel like you're getting...
Right. Like, hey, we get it. You're hot water.
It's too much.
You're bubbling. Yeah.
You can get a little bit like, whew, it's exhausting a little bit.
Well, you're not supposed to stay in it very long. That's why they have those warnings. Do you not read them?
I shouldn't have fallen asleep.
You're supposed to, it's like, what, 15 minutes, 20 minutes?
Oh, is that what they say? A warning.
No more than 30? I don't know. It's been a while since I've...
Are you sure you want to be Surgeon General? What's your favorite Valentine's Day candy, John? What's your go-to? Do you know Laura's?
Yes. Conversation hearts.
The little chalky ones?
Loves them.
Wait a minute. Loves to eat them or loves to like look at them and laugh?
Both.
She likes them?
Well, she has...
Those are like drywall.
She likes conversation hearts. Now, her favorite Easter candy...
Are they called... I didn't know they were called that.
Yeah. Conversation hearts.
Okay.
I don't know if that's her favorite, but that's what, like, she likes them. She's been talking about them lately.
Mm-hmm.
So, her favorite Easter candy, she eats a Cadbury egg once a year.
Is that what she tells
you?
Yeah,
it's a one... No,
you don't
I know.
You don't think there's been some secret Cadbury eggs in the car?
No, because she's like, you can't have more than one. Like, it's too much. Like, it's a commitment.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure she had one last year, but... what's your wife's favorite?
She loves a Reese's.
Oh, yeah.
A heart-shaped Reese's they have. You know, they have the special novelty Reese's that they release.
Yeah.
That they release these for special holidays. I think her favorite shape, though, because she will argue that the shape of the candy affects
the taste.
The taste.
Really?
And she argues that the Reese's egg is the best possible shape.
For the distribution of peanut butter to chocolate. Wow.
Because there's no hard edge like there are with the cups, maybe. I don't know what it is about it, but she's a fan of the egg.
And that's a dense piece of peanut butter in the middle.
It's too much. I think Reese's are too rich. That's why I don't like them.
I like them.
You know what I've started doing, though?
What?
Russell Stover's makes... This is my Walgreens.
Mm.
You know, whatever you call... what do you call that? Guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
I'm at Walgreens. I'm there to get, you know, oozing sore gel or whatever I'm buying for that day. Fiber.
Right.
But I look over there. They're sitting there right there. The Russell Stover's always has the holiday... And it's always, I didn't used to like these when I was a kid, but the chocolate-covered marshmallow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's shaped like whatever it is, a Santa Claus, an ornament, a tree.
Yeah.
And then it's a heart for Valentine's. Here's what I do, though. I take them back. I put them in the fridge.
Oh.
That way the chocolate doesn't melt as you're trying to, it's a little crispier. It's a little
How warm are your hands?
John, I got some hot hands. And that's Curry's favorite Valentine treat. Anyway, guys, please, let's keep this G-rated.
Come on, guys. We're begging you.
No, but I like that now. And they're like, but it's a lot. Like, just for that one heart shape, it's like 150 calories.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa, this was three bites, maybe.
Yeah, with that level of calorie, I want more outcome. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean? What is the outcome from a...
Like, I want 150 calorie and have a bowl of something.
Oh.
Yeah, I want to feel...
Well, that's just...
I want to feel like I've had something substantial.
What can you you eat for a bowl of that's 150 calories?
I'm still working on it.
Like that, what's that keto ice cream that's awful, that Halo Top or whatever, and it's...
You know, we make our own keto ice cream now.
Oh.
We have a little ninja maker.
Okay.
And not the name brand, like a little ninja comes
in. He's in there.
he
hides in the cupboard.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it's really good. And Laura can make anything good. So she makes it, and it's terrific.
Well, so it's the month of Valentine's, and so we thought we would do just a quick couple of stories, or like the idea that I had in my head was about like early dating, puppy love.
Yeah.
Maybe even like, let's go here. Do you remember when, don't they still do this at school where you have Valentine's Day and everybody gets cards for everybody?
They don't do that.
They don't do it.
I wish they did.
I thought that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
And you knew they were kind of cookie cutter. You'd have the, here's yours. And at least from your guy friends sometimes.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
You give it to everybody.
And it's like, look, everybody got to go home with a satchel full of stuff.
Yeah, it was like...
Look at all my notes. And sometimes people would write something nice in it.
Yeah, it was like a planned affirmation.
Yeah, like that. We talked about that the other day. Like, we should have yearbook season every year.
Yeah.
Or when you're graduating into some new phase of life, you should be able to affirm each other again and not wait to their funeral to eulogize them.
Yeah.
And so that would be it. Like, we should bring back everybody gets a Valentine.
I agree.
Even the unpopular kids, like you were.
Yeah.
Well, no, you were a popular kid. You probably, you were like, you had swag.
I was just there. I think being a boy is easier. I was just okay with everybody. You know what I'm saying?
But so here, let me ask you this move though.
All right.
So when you're getting Valentine's for everybody, as we did, did you also then go, but this is the one that I'm really going to... I'm going to lean into this one. This girl, choose you. Yeah, this girl gets the real note.
Yeah. That's like an episode of The Office.
And the Whitman sampler.
Right.
That's like the small one.
Yeah. I don't recall that in like elementary school when we did that. Like,
you don't recall if you were like crushing on anybody?
Oh, yeah. I liked girls, but...
You didn't decide that was the day to make a move?
I might not have been brave enough to do that.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you're really putting yourself out there.
No, 100%. Well, but I feel like you have a little bit of subterfuge because you have this swath of Valentines that are going out.
You have an opportunity here.
And you could almost say like, oh, I didn't know. Did you get it?
What? Did that happen?
Did that one say love? Yeah.
And then you don't know.
Did that one say check the box?
And if she was asking because she really liked that you did that and now you downplay it, now she thinks you don't like her.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, you got to come forth
with your... It's a minefield.
With your real feelings eventually and then either face rejection or face...
One of the first times I ever asked a girl out, I can't remember how old I was. I would have been probably 14. And she was older.
Hmm.
And the movie Twins had come out. Remember with Danny DeVito?
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito. DeVito.
And it was coming out, and I said, I wrote her a note. Would you like to go see Twins with me? That was my big...
Okay.
And then she wrote back, I would like to go see Twins. John. So it was her way of saying, like, it does look interesting, that movie.
Oh, she never said with you.
She never said with me.
Oh.
It was like the girl that would check the box. She would write her own box in it and said, maybe.
Oh.
Check yes or no. She goes, you know what? How about complete vagueness?
Oh, dear.
We never went.
Yeah.
We never went to that movie.
You know, I think that the thing about dating in those days, or whatever we called it.
Right.
It's the heartbreak. I mean, like, I talk about this with middle schoolers sometimes. Like, there's no good outcome. Like, even if you end up, she said yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's heartbreak probably coming for you.
That's a horrible way to look at it.
But it's true.
What if it leads to marriage?
You rarely marry a middle school like girlfriend or boyfriend. It just rarely happens. Occasionally.
Pioneer days.
Yeah.
or arranged marriages in ancient times, but like
yeah.
in the modern age, dating is, I mean,
like a feudal lord would say, "Wouldst thou go see twins with mine offspring?"
She would say, "I have not a choice, my lord." Right. Because my father's making me. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a, I'm not anti it. I think that there's a lot of good side to learning.
It's hard not to put your, it's hard not to pine. Yeah. You can say like, because that's the hard part. We talked about this before, but like these people that go, if I knew then what I know now and I could do school over again with the confidence I have now. And they go, I would, you know, every girl would be attracted to me, or I would know that none of this matters. So I would let my guard down more, or I would do this. Yeah. I would be more free. And what they forget is you're forgetting that hormones are surging through your body.
Right.
You're confused. It's chaos. You won't be able to, your ego and all of that. It's not
a part of it.
Yeah. And so you're going to be thrown back into that moment. You're not going to be like, yeah, but
I know
I have the brain of a 30-year-old. So it's not about brains.
No,
you can't help but pine for that person that you know you can't have.
Yeah.
You know the cheerleader doesn't love you, but you go, but if she knew my heart and my soul.
Yeah. It's very true. Like, yeah. if you remove the pain, or yeah. then you would remove all the parts that make it what it has to be for you to grow and to experience and all those things. And Laura and I talk about this all the time. I think it's okay to have some dating regrets. There are certainly things I did dating that I've, situations I put myself in, things I shouldn't have done,
right.
unhealthy relationships. But it also did, I'm not advocating for it, but when I did finally meet Laura,
yeah.
I had a context
yeah.
for what I should not
you
be
knew,
looking for. Right?
Right. You knew this is real because I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sticks out like a sore thumb.
And I hate that as a dad looking for my kids' experiences, because I go, man, I don't want her to have to suffer or,
yeah.
you know, struggle through the mistakes of it in order to learn what it is. But I'm not sure that there's any other thing besides experience.
Sometimes. When you look at these parents, I mean, I'm not a parent, but you just see studies on these parents that bubble wrap their kids. It does not end well. This shielding that we do is doing damage sometimes.
Yeah, it's hard, man. And dating as a like social, I guess, you know, a societal construct of things the way we do it. I think the one thing that we can take from it, I always say to my daughter, whomever, like middle schoolers, like, hey, you got to remember what season you're in. You may not be able to stop feeling like you feel in the season you're in, but you can try to be aware of which one it is. And not trust all of your feelings. And then you can enjoy it, maybe. Like, it's okay to feel those things. Those things are a part of it. Also, remember that you're in high school or middle school or whatever. Like, if you can, and you're not going to be able to do that, you're going to need other people to remind you.
Yeah.
When they do, don't resent them for it. Like,
right.
Like, hey, I'm not trying to steal your thunder. Just remember. And I think it's just that guarding of the heart a little bit. Like, hey.
When was your first date? And where did you go?
Okay, I don't remember. Well, we used to have a banquet at camp. Remember that?
Yeah. And you could take a date?
You could take, yeah. They kind of encouraged that. That was a big thing.
Whoa.
So it was a huge pressure all week to get a date by Thursday night.
Or you'd be like, you don't right. want to go stag,
and you
you're
didn't
a
know
loser.
Them stand there, you know. It's not like, you're right. at Christian camp. It's not like you're really dancing or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I remember dancing with a girl maybe in seventh grade or something at
okay.
a birthday party, but it wasn't a date. I do remember I had a girlfriend. It was all church. I remember I had a church girlfriend.
Whoa. So this is like separate from another girlfriend that you had? I had my secular girlfriend. I had my church relationships.
I remember there was a girl. I'd never even seen her, but she saw me. This is danger. And somehow on the phone, we all connected. A bunch of us guys are meeting up with a bunch of girls at Starwood Amphitheater in Nashville.
Oh, yeah. Outdoor concert venue.
I think it was from Michael Bolton.
Okay.
And
that sets the stage.
We had agreed. I was like, I'll meet you by the t-shirt stand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we got tickets.
So while Michael Bolton's singing in the background.
When we got there.
How nice both here without you. And you just went in, you made a move.
Well, when I got there as a whatever, 12, 13-year-old.
Yeah.
I was with my brothers. I had like older people with me. I realized half the whole thing is t-shirt stands. And I don't know what this girl looks like.
Oh, wow.
I never found her, Johnny.
She's still out there.
She's still waiting by the t-shirt
She's
stand.
At that t-shirt stand.
And it was just like, I don't know. I was
That's
like,
great.
Okay, yeah. That was one of my first attempts at dating.
You should have been more specific.
Yeah, like, hey, meet me on the northwest corner. But
no, that wouldn't have helped your kids.
Girls don't carry compasses.
I hate when I go to churches and they say that, and they go, I go, hey, I'm at the church. Where do I need to go? They go, come to the southernmost corner. That's the door. I go, like, you know what? I just got off the exit. Don't do this.
Am I a cartographer?
Yeah, don't do this. Is there a big five on the door? Tell me five.
What's your first dating experience?
I'm trying to remember like what I would consider a first date. It would probably have been like 14.
92.
You know, you always go out, yeah. You always go out with friends, you know, and yeah. So it's hard to remember like when the first official where you're just by yourself. Because they kind of blend together. But my first kiss would have been 14. And the girl was 12. But it was just like a little pop kiss. It wasn't like, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing, John.
No.
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 Still don't. it hurts. But yeah, so that was like the big thing. Because my brother was so much more outgoing with girls.
Yeah.
Like, I remember him being chased around the playground by the Norton twins, Sherry and Sheila Norton.
The antivirus people.
Yes.
Okay.
They
went on.
We didn't know then.
Right.
But they were going to be
huge
baronesses. Anyway, they were like chasing him around, kissing him.
Ugh.
In kindergarten.
And he acted like he hated it.
You know, it was one of those playgrounds where you have the little tunnel you can go in, the little tube that's like a overturned barrel.
Johnny, I think you were held in captivity.
And no, he was in there with those girls, like kissing them. Or they were kissing him. It was like aggressive girls in kindergarten, first grade.
And you were thinking like, why is this someone being aggressive towards me?
And so my brother was just like, he had that it factor. And I did not. I was painfully shy with girls. And so... It took me, I was a very late bloomer as far as like, but I always was in my feelings about it. Like I was this tortured poet about relationships, which made me way less attractive, I'm sure, because I just was, I was like a sad sack, you know?
Yeah.
And my brother was like, just put out a vibe. It works. And I'm like, yeah, it works for you. You have a vibe.
Right.
I got nothing over here.
I got nothing but a mullet.
Yeah. I'm rubbing two sticks together over here. You got a Zippo. But anyway, not bitter.
No.
But so there was, that probably was a dynamic that I was running in the background, because he was my twin. We were identical, but it was running in the background of like, he is outgoing and is way past me in this one thing. And so I'm playing catch up from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I'm behind on things. And so I felt like stunted in that way. But it worked out for the best. But yeah, it just those first moments, you're fumbling toward, you don't know what's going on.
No.
You're just trying to, again, you can't not pine for these things. You can't be like, this is just my hormones doing this,
right.
And I'm attached to this person because I know she's unattainable, and that's just what I do. I should find someone who has more in common with me. You can't know any of that.
I know, and I hate the fact that, again, the advice that helps is advice that almost can't be taken in the stage of life that you're in. It's almost like, I'm just going to tell you things.
Right.
To help you later when you process this.
Right.
Like maybe remember this.
I want you to remember that I was right. Is that what you tell Sadie? One of these days, you're going to love old dad.
You're going to be like, wow, he knew stuff.
Man.
Yeah. I think it has a place. And
she takes your advice, though, right? Sadie's pretty.
Yeah. Sadie's a good kid.
Well, and you're a good dad, John.
Mm,
you don't think you give good advice?
I will say this, that every day since she's been, you know, old enough to go somewhere, I take her out for a Valentine's daddy-daughter date.
And every day?
Every year, sorry.
Oh, that's all.
And she used to, we'd always just go to the local Mexican restaurant, and we were home by 6, you know, and she was asleep by 7:30. And now, like it's Cheesecake Factory or something.
Oh,
you know,
she wants the...
Mm-hmm. Which we have such a great time, though, so I'm looking forward to that.
But eventually, John, Valentine's...
No.
She's going to have a date.
I'm still going to take her. It doesn't have to be on the day of.
Wait a minute. I thought you meant you're
doing
it. I'm going to tell her, you cancel your date.
I'll be like, hey, guys, I'm just going to tag
along. I made reservations. Yeah, that's right. You tag along.
Hey, kids.
I think about my mom when I started like hanging around with girls and just being out. And just in general, going out with friends, when my mom would say, where are you going?
Yeah.
If she had the technology of like what we have now, Life 360 and air tags and all the things that we have.
Right.
My mom, I don't know if she would have had more peace or less peace.
Right.
You know, because my mom was the original overprotective mom, like, to the hardcore.
Yeah.
She had every reason to be. She had lost kids. She, I mean, literally, like, lost. My siblings died before I was born, so I had lost a sibling. So she had, like, this thing of when it stormed, hey, call me.
Yeah.
Tell me where you're going to be and be there. And she was known to maybe drive to that place and see if she saw our car there. So, but I just think if she had had, I just wonder if she would have sat home just refreshing a phone.
Probably. Yeah.
Because you go, because I do.
Yeah.
And you go, and I'm not crazy. You know, normal parents do this.
That's what we do. And you know what, listener? We hope that you also feel like a normal just person. We want to just normalize all the feelings of life.
Yeah.
So we just talk about whatever.
These feelings you're having are normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right now, we're going to separate the boys and the girls and talk about your changing bodies.
If you like this small mini bonus episode, there's lots of other full-length episodes, Johnny, that they can go and listen to.
Oh, talk about that, podcast.com, where you can find all the old episodes. And then you can also kick in some shekels on Patreon if you'd like to. No pressure at all. We got a lot of $5 per month people. We love those people. And they even get free gifts from us. I'm getting ready to send a free gift to all of our patrons.
Wow.
This week. Those are going out. So
maybe I should go sign up.
Look for John, that would be...
Oh.
No.
I don't.
What are you doing?
I don't understand how this
works. Going backwards. You're spinning our wheels over here. Anyway, do that if you'd like.
Yeah, it means a lot. Also, thanks to our partners at Life Audio. You can check out a lot of their great episodes of other podcasts at lifeaudio.com. It's a cool place and cool things going on there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, guys, thanks for the time. We'll see you next week for a full episode of
Talk About That.
In a recent survey, parents reported that 52% of homeschooled children need learning accommodations. These parents need practical advice, encouragement, and hope to fuel their homeschooling efforts. The Empowering Homeschool Conversations podcast is where parents gain wisdom on how to teach unique learners successfully at home, like Laura, who recently told us, "I needed this episode. I don't need a fancy curriculum or need to be a special ed teacher to teach my son. You have given me hope." To listen now, go to Life Audio or search Empowering Homeschool Conversations on your favorite podcast app.